Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our continuing coverage of Spartan Ops for Halo 4. We are back after a long hiatus from talking about Spartan Ops specifically. And that's to kind of finally wrap things up and talk about the epilogue of Spartan Ops. So, again, with me, as he's been on the last 10 episodes of our Spartan Ops miniseries, returning once again is Halo Fan for Life.
Hello, hello.
Oh, hello, you've been on quite a lot recently, actually.
Yeah, more than just Spartan Ops stuff. Spartan Assault and the trailer for E3 for Halo 5.
Yeah, you're getting your podcast fill pretty much exclusively through Podtacular.
Well, I'm enjoying it, though, and I'm glad you're having me back. Appreciate it.
Well, it's good to have you back, especially since you are our resident Spartan Ops expert. So everything Spartan Ops, and especially all the charts that you had to really help us out during the whole Spartan Ops process through all the episodes. And for those of you who don't know that may be listening to us live, this is actually the first live Spartan Ops one that we're doing. Probably only a few last ones that we're doing. I'm not sure if we're going to have many more Spartan Ops minicasts or not, but we definitely wanted to do this one because there was the epilogue that we haven't talked about yet, and we wanted to kind of talk about our thoughts of what we would want to see behind the second season of Spartan Ops if it were to come out. Now, it looks like things right now with how they're lining up and with what some folks over at 343 said, nothing's being worked on right now for a second season. We're not sure if we're going to get a second season, and with all the stuff that's gotten announced recently in terms of Spartan Assault and Halo 5, it may very well likely be that we're not going to get a second season just because of how much time that 343 would have to set aside in terms of workforce to get that done when they could be working on Halo 5 or...
Or they could be working on it for Halo 5, so we'd get a Season 2 with Halo 5.
Right.
I did see, and I think I posted it to you, there was a rumor, and somebody put up a graphic, and I can't confirm it, so this is only a rumor, that there was supposed to be a Spartan Ops Season 2 starting on the 25th of July. Again, that's just a rumor. My guess is it's not Spartan Ops, but it's actually Spartan Assault for that.
Yeah, you actually said that, I think, last night, and then I said, well, it coincides pretty well with when they said Spartan Assault would be releasing in July.
Right.
So it's probably that instead of a second season of Spartan Ops.
I'd like it to be a second season of Spartan Ops. But
oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, if it's not, well, okay.
I don't think that we need to be overloaded with Palmer, though. I think having the Spartan Ops the Spartan Assault, it's probably going to be a good kind of intermediate. You could see something possibly later in this year for Spartan Ops, but when I believe Frankie actually said this a couple months ago, said there were no current efforts of Spartan Ops being worked on.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do, when somebody says there are no current efforts, doesn't necessarily mean there aren't any future efforts planned.
That's true. But at that time, though, that means Spartan Ops 2 isn't even being worked on. So that means we have at least, from when he said that, however long it takes to develop Spartan Ops, that's how long we would have to wait anyways.
Right. True.
So it will be...
Go ahead.
It'll be quite some time before we would actually see it. And there's actually rumors right now that Halo 5 is going to be released in spring of 2014.
Right. I've heard that. I'm trying to confirm that outside of what I heard.
But if that's true,
if that's true,
that's going to be a very narrow window time frame for Spartan Ops to be
released,
out there for Halo 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, hey, if we get Halo 5 in spring and Spartan Ops Season 2 comes with that, then I'm fine with that. It's just a matter of, then I have to, you know, find a way to get that Xbox One.
Yeah.
People are saying in the chat, less Palmer, more Dalton. Well, okay, I could go with Dalton. Palmer, you know what? She's kind of grown on me a little bit.
She's
not as bad as I thought she was at first.
Well, especially what they did with the second season of Spartan Ops and how they kind of changed her character a little bit, especially with not saying eggheads every other line.
Yeah, right.
she was a lot more of a developed, a lot more fleshed out character. Mm-hmm. You could actually see bits and pieces of her that just weren't plastered into a script. You actually saw a little bit more of a complex character come out of that second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Palmer grew on me after the first half.
Yeah.
Personally, they actually brought out character in who she was for the second half.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and hopefully we'll get to see a little bit more of that in Spartan Assault.
Well, I imagine we're gonna learn a lot more about her through Spartan Assault. Just the fact that this is her first Spartan mission. And there's that other Spartan, Spartan Davis. And do you remember what I was talking with you about the other day regarding their colors? That she's okay.
She's white and he was what, yellow?
No. Well, she's silver and he's gold. And normally those colors signify like first and second place. So I'm just curious, and I could be overthinking it, and that's fine because we fans do that kind of stuff all the time. But my
overanalyze.
Yes. My thought is that Spartan Davis was actually like the number one recruit for the first recruits of the Spartan 4 program, and that Palmer was the number two. And in their description of Spartan Assault, they talk about how Palmer basically has to learn not to do a run and gun style. She has to consider others. And so my guess is that through playing the game, what was his name? I just forgot his name again. Not Dalton.
Davis.
Yes. That Davis will die. And, you know, that will play on her. But through that death, she becomes then, the only candidate for the Spartan commander of the Spartan Force. So that's just a guess. Again, maybe overanalyzing, but hey, that's you know, that's part of the fun of it.
That's what makes us hardcore fans of the franchise.
Oh yeah.
So and sometimes sometimes it gets really, really interesting, the kind of discussions that go. If you guys ever get a chance to go to any of these conventions like PAX or RTX, and you ever get to sit at a table with a bunch of core community people, especially like a lot of community leaders, you will be diving into discussions that if you're not into the Halo lore or into really deep into the story of Halo or the mechanics behind multiplayer, you're going to get yourself lost very, very quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Last night's podcast was kind of a tease on that. You know, there's a lot of that stuff kind of going around.
That's tame.
Yeah,
compared to some of the discussions that I've had.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think one of the most memorable moments for me was PAX East 2012. And we actually had a lot of people there because it was before Halo 4 came out. So it was the big hype towards that. But we had on Sunday night a table of about 40 people. And we had we went out to a restaurant in Boston called Legal Test Kitchen. And we had the outside patio and we had tables lined up and we literally had about 40 people lined up and we had two separate huge conversations going on, just talking about the Halo lore and what could possibly be coming out in Halo 4 and all this stuff regarding the books from what Greg Bear has written and what we know from the terminals and all that stuff. And it just got really, really deep. And we sat there literally for about 3 to 4 hours just talking and nerding out to Halo.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like being called nerding out, even geeking out. I mean, you know, hey, we're fans, you know, whatever. I know that's
we're more so fans than quite a few people, though.
Yeah. I know that's how the outside world sees us. That's all right.
It's all good.
Definitely.
All right. So let's jump into the epilogue of Spartan Ops Season 1. So this is the final cutscene that we have after you play through all the episodes of Spartan Ops. And we go from having Fireteam Crimson, having us deactivated our little magnet Forerunner tech thing. And then we have the cutscene start with Fireteam Majestic with Palmer going to deactivate theirs. Of course, they're met with heavy resistance, with the Covenant being there and everything, trying to defend the artifact there. Interesting thing, though, it doesn't seem like there's any gravitational fluctuations there as you encountered when you were trying to escape from yours. It seemed like they were doing just fine. It didn't seem like there were earthquakes or anything, so... Of course, the whole timing of this may have something to do with it, just with how short time frame there was. Maybe there weren't gravitational fluctuations at the time, or maybe where they were at, it was a little bit more stable, but who knows. That's minimal, but something I definitely noticed when watching the cutscene. It seems like there's some inconsistencies throughout the whole of Spartan.
They could have been on the other side of the planet, right?
And they weren't. No, it wasn't.
Towards the end of it, they weren't. But they could have been maybe far enough on the other side so that the gravity from the sun wasn't affecting them as much.
Maybe. As far as actually going to deactivate the artifact, they fight through a few Covenant. They cover for each other. Palmer does her badass thing, and everyone else kind of follows suits. We have people throwing grenades, people dominating. Then we have Thorne go up to the control panel, bring up the artifact, and deactivate it. So once that happens, they radio up to Infinity, telling Lasky that their artifact is been disabled. And then Lasky radios Dr. Glassman, and Glassman says, well, it's off the ground. So Lasky orders the LT to try to move the ship, and it moves. We're free from Requiem. We're not tied magnetically to this thing, or slip space. Like, we're not tied via slip space anymore.
Right.
We're free. Yay. So, of course, mad dash back to Infinity. You see all the Spartans with Palmer driving and their Pelican flying up through the sky. And
actually, I think she's co-piloting. It's actually Tedra Grant that's piloting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have her piloting.
That's why you have me.
Yep. And then part of the way through, when they're climbing through the sky, you see Fireteam Crimson's or your Pelican flying up through. So at the end of the last episode of Spartan Ops, you see, you're flying away, so you're basically kind of meeting up there, and you're not flying through the main hole that you usually go in and out of Requiem. There's, from all the collapsing of the shell that's happened so far, there's been some tears, so you're actually flying through one of those holes.
Mm-hmm. So I guess Jewel literally teared Requiem a new one? I guess by your silence, you're going to pass that comment.
I'm debating to whether to facepalm or...
Well...
It was good.
It was correct.
I mean, I saw that coming. Mm-hmm. And no, that's... No.
I'm not going to say it.
Yes, thank you. So as far as getting back aboard Infinity, you have both Pelicans come into a screeching halt. You have the landing crew standing there about ready to flag these guys in. Instead, they just come screeching in.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, we're not going to worry about landing properly. We need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, those deck hands are screaming and trying to get the hell out of the way.
It's like, you guys would have thought that, yeah, it's urgent. They're not going to stop and make sure it's just going to be a soft, nice landing. No, they're going to take every second they can to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you see the Pelicans land in the bay, you have Requiem starting to fall further and further into the sun or the star. And then we have a cut in the cutscene. Probably a few minutes have gone by since then, because it would take Requiem quite a bit to actually get to a point where it would cause the star to be unstable. Mm-hmm. And then you see the star explode.
Well, wait, just before that, Lasky turns back to that lieutenant again and says, get us the hell out of here. And the lieutenant presses the button and then they race off.
Yeah.
That was a dramatic moment. I had to
point it was.
To,
yeah. I, yeah. It was. Sorry. Yeah. I overlooked that.
No worries. Go ahead.
Yeah. So after the kind of cut there, we see the star explode. And of course, being either through the magic of CG, the plasma from the sun exceeds the speed of light, or it just takes Infinity really, 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 really long to make the decision to jump to slipspace. Take your pick. because physically it doesn't work out in the time frame they actually watch it, so that's actually not a one-to-one. Or they just to say, screw it, it's the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah. Dramatic license.
Yeah. Which is not physically accurate.
Well, then again, if we're talking about astrophysics, you know, and quantum theory and all that, right now, we don't know enough about that, so could be possible.
You wouldn't see that be expelled faster than the speed of light.
Actually, yes. When a star goes supernova, the time that it takes for a star to collapse in on itself is literally seconds, and the time that it takes for it to explode, and for instance, if our star were to explode at its size right now, the time that it would take from its explosion to reaching the orbit of Earth, it would be quicker than light would take. So actually, yes, that's possible.
Really?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of the Science Channel, believe me. You know, I've been watching a lot of Through the Wormhole and How the Universe Works and all these shows. And yeah, when a star goes supernova, that initial explosion is faster. They haven't been able to quantify what that speed is, but it's faster. Now, of course, it reaches a point of velocity when then it starts to slow down because there's nothing more to propel it, but that initial explosion, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, believe me, man, over the last few weeks, man, I've really been watching that stuff and getting really interested in it. So, yeah, it's interesting. I could go into a whole topic about, you know, what happens when stars explode and what kind of elements they create, depending on the size of the star they are and all that. But that's...
Well, I stand corrected. I know about the different elements, but okay.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But, it's very interesting.
It still seems a lot quicker than it should be.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, we are talking about sci-fi here, though. So, you know, these kinds of things, I don't mind if they go a little bit further than the realm of what we would consider to be realistic. You know, it's science fiction, so I'm okay with it.
All right. It still doesn't explain why it seems like they chose the last minute to jump to slip space.
Hmm.
But, oh well.
Maybe they have to... Maybe it just takes a certain amount of time for the engines to get up to that, you know, powered up to where they can slip, you know?
I guess, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when Lasky turns to the lieutenant and says, get us the hell out of there, I mean, obviously he's powering up the engines because they were locked in for a while there. And, you know, at this point, they're not really locked, but they were in a stationary position because they were waiting for Crimson and Majestic. So, you know, they had to get the engines up to speed just to get going and then get the engines powered up fully for a full slip. So, you know, I can see that, you know. And again, it's dramatic license. It's the same thing as, you know, a spy going and defusing a bomb with 1 second left, you know, instead of it being like a minute and 32 seconds, you know. I mean, it's not as dramatic if you do it like that. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah, fair enough. So, they get through the slipspace, a hole that they tore in subspace, and they get out. Roland reports that there's injuries on multiple decks, but nothing too serious. And, of course, everyone is happy. Yay!
Yay! We made it!
Well, most everybody's happy. Because then we get to the next part, which, yeah, so, of course, we know from the last couple episodes that Halsey wasn't exactly playing nice to the UNSC, so to speak. She had her own agenda for trying to find the librarian.
She had her own agenda? Oh my god!
Yeah, I know, right? Shocker! But as far as the Janus key that she was able to... at least toss half of it over to Thorn. Dr. Glassman had been studying it for a little while until they decided to jump ship. And I guess this is probably some time after they actually made the jump and everyone's had time to kind of settle down and make sure everyone's okay. But we see, Lasky and Palmer walking down through this corridor and Palmer isn't really happy about Lasky because she thought that Lasky sent in Fireteam Majestic to stop her from killing Halsey, and then Lasky was like, no, it was so that they could rescue Halsey.
You see a difference?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's what she's saying, though, you know. I see a difference.
A difference in motive. I mean, yeah, it comes out to be the same result. Right. But as far as, like, I mean, motive counts for something, I think.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to take the high ground and say that, you know, it was a rescue op as opposed to a, you know.
Trying to not burn any bridges or say anything that would otherwise get him be the end result of Spartan stew.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, he's going to be in hot water with Oni and especially Saren Osman because she gave him a direct order, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they would do for Halo 5. And that might
slash
be
Spartan Ops 2.
Slash Spartan Ops 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think the likeliness of actually getting a Spartan Ops Season 2 for Halo is?
Oh, I think it's there. I think that there is a chance of that. I think that they're going to crunch the numbers a little bit more. They might not be as ambitious as they had wanted to be for this one. I don't know that we'll get a full 10 episodes. Maybe we'll only get, or chapters, maybe we'll only get 5. Hopefully we'll still have 5 missions per. And I think if they do that, if they trim it down, then they can give us more maps, you know? So, that's what I actually see happening is that it's going to be a shorter season, but more maps, and they won't necessarily be released weekly. I can actually see it being something released monthly to stretch it out. That's a guess, but just looking at the numbers that Spartan Ops Season 1 had, you know, how it declined, you know, coming, you know, into the fourth week, picked up a little bit for the fifth. And then, you know, once 6 came back after that 5-week hiatus, it picked up a little bit, but it never got the numbers back from the initial first few weeks. and they're going to take all that into account. And I think that they realized that after those 5 weeks, you know, that there was some people that wanted to have Spartan Ops back, but, you know, it just wasn't the numbers I think they were looking for. So that's why I say I think they would do a second season, but that it's just going to be trimmed down and spread out over a long period of time. I think it's likely.
What would you think of them doing something like making it where it's leading up to the release of Halo 5? Like, you have Spartan Ops, like, if you were to do it on a weekly basis, like, if you had, just say the 5 episodes. If we had 5 episodes of Spartan Ops to lead into Halo 5, Spartan Ops.
Played through
Halo 4? Hmm?
Played through Halo 4.
Yeah, like, kind of as a lead-up, kind of setting the stage for what's happened to Halsey a little bit, and what's now happened with the UNSC.
That's very plausible when you consider they kind of did the same thing with the Forward Unto Dawn series. You know, now it wasn't playable as something we played as a game, but it was episodes that we watched once a week that led up to the release of Halo 4. So I definitely can see that as a possibility as well. In fact, that's something I would probably be a little bit more happy about seeing, you know. And that certainly gives them plenty of time to work on between now and then and get that ready, and also have the team from Spartan Ops at 343 to work on, you know, another season for Halo 5. So I can see that all, you know, I think all options are still on the table at this point. There's still enough time to do some of this stuff.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, as a fan, obviously I would love to see it, and I want to get my hands back into making the comic books that I was doing, you know, for each of the episodes. But
and I need to finish writing my book too.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah,
I was planning to have it done by RTX. I think I'll have all the writing done by RTX, but I will not have all the graphics and all the layout stuff done. But I will have all the writing done.
You know, I have, that's what my degree's in, man. So you need help with that. You let me know, man. And I want my signed copy too.
Oh, you'll get it. You'll get it.
But, yeah, Now, are we talking now about, so this is what we're expecting from season two, or?
We kind of jumped into that a little bit. We still have the two scenes to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
So as Lasky and Palmer are walking down into kind of the science lab area, they open the doors and we see Glassman kind of examining the one half of the Janus key that Thorne was able to recover from Halsey when she tossed it to him. And as far as he could tell, it was definitely missing a piece, and by what we've known from the librarian, what she told us in Spartan Ops, it is only half, and they don't work unless they're together.
Right.
So, of course, he's being smart, and he's made that distinction. But it's really interesting to see the microscopic level of detail that they have on the Janus key with the little grooves in there. I thought that screenshot, just from a science-y perspective, was kind of cool to see.
It was cool, but look,
That's like electron microscope stuff.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. It looked pretty cartoony to me. It actually reminded me of something I would have seen on SpongeBob.
But if you look at electron microscope scans, that's kind of what they look like.
Yeah. I mean, it was still cool, though. You know, it was cool to see how, this is how microscopically the two would fit together then. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was interesting. So, of course,
they're making Glassman smarter than you thought he was at the beginning of the season. Because, you know, obviously he's got to have some smarts being the science officer, you know, of the Infinity. But the way he was being played initially, he kind of sounded like, you know, the dumbass cousin of Halsey. And he's not. You know, he still has a childlike wonder for science. But that's different than, you know, that's different than being a dumbed down version of Halsey. You know, he's just, you know, he's still very hyped up about, you know, what science can show him and all that. He doesn't have those decades of experience and he's not been jaded, you know. So, you know, I think we're seeing that and the exuberance come through him, as opposed to, you know, him being, like I said, a dumbed down version. He's a very smart guy. Even Halsey recognized that. She was, you know, earlier, episodes or chapters we talked about it.
Glassman did this?
Yeah, exactly. So she was even a bit shocked that, you know, somebody else actually had, you know, the intellectual capacity to, you know, manipulate Forerunner technology. So.
And it's a different personality as well. He's not out there with some kind of agenda to move humanity forward like Halsey had, where she was all for humanity all the time, no matter what the cost. He's a little bit more reserved and a little bit more shy. Than Halsey is, but we've seen throughout the duration of Spartan Ops, and especially here at the very end, he is very, very smart compared to Halsey, and if not, he can probably combat with her on a very similar intellectual level. Now, he doesn't nearly have as much exposure to Forerunner tech that Halsey has, and Halsey, I think, will hold that until the day she dies.
Right.
But in terms of being knowledgeable enough to know to kind of fumble around and get an idea of what's going on, Glassman's actually pretty good at what he does.
Yeah, he's not bad. I have confidence that he could, he could lead the science faction of the UNSC, further, you know, and forward. So if and when Halsey goes, you know, he would be the new one to take over. I could see that happening. And I say if and when because I'm curious, you know, what, you know, with her knowledge of knowing that the Janus key, when combined, will show them, you know, show her all of the Forerunner artifacts all over, you know, that she's not going to find something that will give her very prolonged life, if not eternal life.
She has to get the other half, though.
Well, yeah. But that's part of her agenda.
Yeah, which gets into our next scene. So we actually have...
That's a good segue.
It is a good segue. You just ruined it by saying it was a Segway.
We're not talking about that little two-wheeled vehicle that you stand up on.
As far as the final scene goes, we see Jewel and Dama talking to Halsey about the Janus key. And, of course, Jewel is upset that she basically threw the other half of the Janus key to Thorne. I guess he didn't have the insight to see that she had two pieces in her hand instead of just the one, so... When he grabbed her out, he just got the one, and then she was smart enough to throw the other half to Thorne. And of all people, I think Thorne is the one that she trusts the most.
And I think she should have, too.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic really plays out, whether in the second season of Spartan Ops or what we see in Halo 5, because it's almost like she definitely feels a little bit of attachment to Thorne just because of maybe how much that Thorne reminds
her
of the other Spartan 2s and maybe of John.
Well, and also he was the one that escorted her a lot on her work details.
He cared.
He seemed genuinely interested in her research in the Spartan 2 program. You know, he talked about the reasons why he wanted to be a Spartan. So, you know, I think that there is some kind of a bond there. There's something more that she has with Thorne than she has with any of the other Spartan 4s. That much, I think, is certain.
Yeah. As far as the rapport between those two go, I think it's going to play definitely a lot into further Spartan Ops seasons or what may end up happening in Halo 5 Spartan Ops. So it's and there's a certain aspect in the last cutscene where it's almost like, well, I will get to it in a minute. I guess I won't go into spoiler to it. We'll walk through the rest of the scene first. So, of course, when Jewel is talking to her about how she was handing the other half over to the rest of the UNSC, she was like, well, yeah, I did that before I knew that they were a hit squad out to kill me.
Yeah. But and she's misguided with that. It was really only Palmer. It wasn't Majestic. But that's
right.
She saw it in the heat of battle.
Well, and she's also using it for leverage against Jewel, too. Mm-hmm. There, I mean, it's Dr. Halsey. She's smart. She knows how to work a situation in her favor.
She's a manipulator.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Jewel threatens her with, I could have left you, or, no, she says, well, you could have left me to bleed out, and, of course, he threatens her, and she stands up as like, the UNSC just tried to execute me. You're going to need more than idle threats and if you want me to work with you.
Yeah.
She's like, and she's taking the dominant ground there. She's basically establishing her role in this whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, to talk down an elite and Jewel Ndama to boot on top of that, you know, and then he basically hands it to her in a silver platter, you know, well, what is it that you want?
Yeah. And there was, I believe, the original cut scene, because I went back and watched it on Waypoint today, and I think they changed it a little bit. I thought I remember seeing her thinking about what she wanted there for a second, and it's like after a minute of thinking, she said, I want revenge. But here it's just like straight shoot, right after Jewel asked the question, she says, I want revenge.
Yeah, I just watched it before the podcast. That didn't strike me as being really different, but...
But if you think about it, going straight from Jewel asking the question, saying, what do you want? And she says revenge. It's like, okay, she definitely wants revenge. But I thought I remembered.
Well, she looks down at her arm, the one that's been severed, you know, so I think that was enough of a pause.
I thought when I watched it on the Xbox, after it first came out, I thought there was something in there where it's like she was going to say something, but she stopped. And then she thought about it for a second. And then she said, I want revenge. It's almost like she was trying to think about what she was truly feeling, and then it's like, wait, what's the best thing I could say here to get the best situation out of everything?
Here's a way, well, we can compare that. HaloBungie.org had those
saved,
and I saved all of those. So I will look at the time there and see how long the time is of that video versus what it is on Waypoint right now. If there's a difference, then we know that they changed the scene. I think it's the case, but... You know, we can look into that.
I just watched through it, probably.
Yeah.
Probably the best way to do it. I'll look that up real quick as we go on here. But as far as the actual cutscene goes for the epilogue, that's pretty much it. We end off, we see the credits for Spartan Ops, and we have some pretty good music to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's actually Lasky's theme from the Halo 2 or Halo 4 Volume 2 soundtrack, so that's pretty cool. Definitely one of my more favorite tracks on the Halo 2, I keep on saying Halo 2, Halo 4 Volume 2 soundtrack.
I really need to get that.
And one of the reasons why I like it is because it's not composed by Neil Davidge. It's actually Kazuma Jinoshi.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of Davidge?
It's too much like a movie soundtrack.
Yeah, you know, I really did get that feeling too. Some of the songs that he composed made me feel like, you know, if I was like watching an award show, this would be the music that they would play to introduce either, you know, introduce the trophy presenter, or you know, while you're waiting for the star to come up to get their award. It was nice. It was, you know, I think it was good, but I don't think it was as good as Marty O'Donnell. No offense, Neil, but you know, that's classic Halo.
I think everyone felt that way though.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be the composer on Halo 5, you know, or is it going to be the forgive me, I can't remember the name you just said. The Asian name that you said.
Oh, Kazuma Junoshi.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to do the whole thing. Or if Toji from 343 is going to...
Yeah, well, Toji also did 117, which is my favorite. He said that when I talked to him at...
New York Comic Con,
he said that was the one that he composed. And when I told him that that was my favorite one, he thought...
He was pretty happy about that.
He wanted a hug after that, yeah. To say the least.
He likes hugs, you know. I hugged him. He's twice cool. when I met him at the New York Comic Con. The first time I met him was that Thursday, actually before the doors opened, and I was able to get in. And I saw him and I knew him by his face, and I called him out and talked with him and gave me a hug. And then again at the after party. So he's a friendly fellow.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude. But yeah, unfortunately, Neil Davidge's stuff just isn't. It works all right with Halo, but it's definitely doesn't have that video game feel.
Yeah,
to it, and of course, it's definitely not Marty's music either.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever gonna get Marty's music back.
But Destiny, oh my gosh!
Well, yeah, if you want Marty's music, yeah, but then you got to go to a whole different gaming franchise.
I'm likely going to buy it anyway, so...
For the Xbox. Ooh, we don't want to go down that road. There was enough of a pause there.
I'm likely to pre-order the Xbox One.
Yeah?
But especially from the conversations that we had last night from our E3 Day 1 talk.
Right.
There is still a lot of things that need to come out before I lay my money down, because that's...
Yeah.
That's $1,000 I'm going to be spending if I get the two consoles.
Yeah.
That's a big investment.
Microsoft has to answer a lot. I mean, we could go into a whole conversation again about that. But
yeah. This is Spartan Ops. So let's not divert too much.
Right. But yes. Yeah. Well, I'm a Halo guy, you know, obviously Halo fan for life. So I have to go with the Xbox One. But I got to tell you, it's still tempting. And for me to say that it's tempting, knowing that I'm a Halo person, you know, through and through, oof, I want to support Microsoft. I certainly want to support 343, but I want Microsoft to be a little bit more upfront and answer this stuff quickly and don't wait too long. Otherwise, they're going to lose the audience, you know. But that being said, we're going to talk about our speculation for Season 2 and Halo 5 Season 2, or...
I think we can do that a little bit. We can talk about speculation for a second season of Spartan Ops, if it were to come out, of course.
Right.
We already kind of touched on it a tad.
Right.
Definitely kind of dove into that a little bit. As far as, I guess, where the story would pick up, we would... it's almost like we would have... a primary focus on what's going on with the Infinity, with the Spartan Force and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would guess with cinematics, we would see what's going on with Halsey, or that may just be in the dark. We may see that and be like, okay, we're not seeing this until Halo 5 again. It's that she's out with the elites. We have no idea what's going on other than the fact that, okay, we saw that bit. They may want to just stay back. And it's like, okay, we're going to keep that part of mystery.
That's what I think. You know, the more and more I keep thinking about it is that the Halsey part of the story is something that's going to be saved for Halo 5. Or, as you alluded to earlier, if they decide to do some episodes before Halo 5 to lead into it, that's when they'll bring that part of the story back in. Now, I've got a guess as to what's going to happen in Halo 5 based off the trailer that we saw yesterday, as well as the ending of Spartan Ops, putting these all together, I can see then that somehow the two parts of the Janus Key are combined, and that Chief gets this information as to where Mendicant Bias is going to be, and that's where he goes to seek him out because he's got the intimate knowledge of Forerunner Tech, the Flood, so on and so forth. But in order for him to do that, obviously the two parts of the Janus Key have to come together. So is that going to happen first thing in Halo 5, and that's where Halsey's part of the story comes in again? Is he going to have some interaction with Halsey again? Or will this possibly be, like you were saying, the lead into Halo 5 with some episodes of Spartan Ops Season 2 in Halo 4 prior to that? It's a guess, but I think that's where it could lead into.
Yeah, there's lots of different things. It depends on how exactly they're actually, how long they've been working on Halo 5 and what they've actually done with the studio in terms of splitting that effort up. And then, of course, when Halo 5 is actually going to be released, if the rumors are true about it being spring of next year or whether it's actually going to be a little bit later in the year.
Mm.
If it's a little bit later in the year, I think we'll see a little bit more of a likeliness of Spartan Ops 2 happening and something being done maybe early next year or very, very late this year.
Yeah, I alluded to this previously in other episodes that Mega Bloks is coming out with some new stuff that is not in Halo 4 yet that we know of. I don't think that it's Halo 5 stuff. And it has to deal with what's called ReapX, which is reverse engineering. I think it's alien prototype, something like that. And that's taking Forerunner Tech and reverse engineering it so that the UNSC can use it. Now, if they have that ability, then that means that they've, the tech that they found, whether it be on Trevelin or what they gained knowledge from Requiem or what they might have found by using the Janus Key if they were able to get both parts together, they've created this new tech. So if that's the case, then you would need to see that happening in the game somewhere. So that would mean that's where Spartan Ops Season 2 comes into play. And if those toys are going to release, it's actually going to be late summer, early fall, then that's where I can see Spartan Ops Season 2 possibly happening. Now, you had mentioned Frank O'Connor saying, well, there's nothing that works right now. But that was, a month or two ago? So they could be producing them now, starting to work on them now, have them in a few months. Because if you recall, they did the first five episodes. Then they took those 5 weeks off. Well, they weren't actually done with the season, So during those 5 weeks, they were still working on Spartan Ops. So I can see, them heavily working on it now between now and, sometime in the fall, if not to coincide with the toys, at least to be close to that time to help promote, the toys will help promote season two and then vice versa, get you geared up for, Halo 5. And then maybe, I wouldn't say season three, but maybe an extension of season two, like we had with season one, where there's a break for a while and then they come back and do the rest of it as a lead into Halo 5.
There's lots of different possibilities that we could come off of this.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about, man.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun of it,
Where would we want the Infinity to go, right after this? Because we have it, basically they did an emergency jump. I'm guessing it's another random vector kind of jump thing, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and they're pretty much wherever they want to go next because Requiem is gone. I mean, that objective is done.
I got a couple of suggestions here for that. Reading the Kilo 5 books, we know about the resurgence or the growing resurgence of the insurgency. I say that fast. Anyways.
the growing resurgence of insurgency.
So, with that in mind. Yeah, with that in mind, it could be possible that we finally get to see some human-on-human action, you know, UNSC versus the insurgency. Of course, I think the insurgency this time would be put down pretty quick, but it could be something that would tide us over between now and when Halo 5 were to launch.
I don't think people want to play that, though. I don't think your general public person playing Halo is going to want to fight other humans in Halo. Halo has been established as a human versus alien shooter.
It doesn't have to necessarily be all human on human, though, because consider where part of the Thursday War takes place, the book. There's that one planet where remnants of the Covenant, you know, jackals and brutes and grunts are living in amongst humans as well. So even though the insurgents, you know, are really against the aliens, they could use them to go against the UNSC. I mean, it could be a very complicated thing. You know, it's what was I going to say? There's a show out there that's similar to that. Oh, Defiance. That's similar to that, and the dynamic of having aliens live among humans, humans not liking the aliens not liking the humans, some liking them, some not, and it's a very complicated thing. I could see that happening in Halo as well. So, you know, it's possible. And then also with Frankie liking Call of Duty and that being human on human, you know, and him wanting to get some more of the flavor of that, well, you know, maybe. It's just one possibility. The other thing, of course, could be that the Infinity does start to go after the Storm faction of the Covenant, which is what Jewel leads in their efforts to try and find Halsey. So, you know, maybe they go to this, kind of like what we had in the first season, where we were doing missions where it was like, oh, hey, Jewel's here. Let's go here. Okay. We fight. Oh, wait, he escaped. And now we have to go here. And in this episode, oh no, he escaped again. And
the one giant goose chase throughout whole of Spartan Ops.
Yeah, right. So they could kind of regenerate that theme again, be a little bit more dramatic. Personally, I'd like to see some space battles go on. You know, we've got the broadsword. Let's use it, you know.
I hope that comes with Halo 5.
Oh, God.
I hope something of that.
Space battles. Yeah, I mean, why not bring the saber back? Saber, broadsword, short sword, long sword. You've got the Banshee. You've got Phantoms. You've got Seraphs. You know, you've got all kinds of ships that you could use in space to battle each other. I just think that would be so epic.
There are custom maps on Halo CE Custom Edition that have it. That really? Have space battles. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do tell.
They're pretty fun, too.
Oh, and somebody said in the chat, booster frame. Of course it would be Penn's Halo. I know he loves the booster frame. Yeah, that would be awesome. But, yeah. Well, you know, and we saw, real quickly, just to get off on a quick tangent, we saw yesterday... during the trailer of one of the other games, Project Spark, funny enough that that's like a Halo reference, but that their kind of Forge, they don't call it Forge, but that they allowed for daytime effects, whether it be day or night or, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they allowed for weathering effects, you know, snow, rain, you know, sun, whatever. So, you know, we need to see that in Halo 5 as well. And with that, we definitely need an all space map. While I enjoy Impact from Halo 4, it's still restrictive in some ways.
But I don't think for something like Spartan Ops, we would necessarily get that. I would see it being more applicable in Halo 5 Spartan Ops, where it's like,
sure.
Maybe maybe there's a certain, system that you're trying to chase down the, mm-hmm. a high-ranking elite in, and then you fly around in a longsword or a broadsword between planets or something and find, well, try to find out where they are.
I'd love to see us get a chance to, you know, rock a broadsword and go after a Covenant CCS cruiser, you know, and take it down, you know. Or kind of like similar to what happened in Long Night of Solace for Halo Reach, you know, where you're a saber and you board that ship. Somewhat similar to that, you know, I could see that, you know, you have to take down its engines, you have to knock out so many of its, turrets, you know, and anti-aircraft kind of guns, and then board the ship only to find that Halsey or Jewel aren't there, you know, You know, we definitely need some more action like that. That's for sure. And they need to take advantage more of the quote unquote sandbox items that they had. I mean, we had in Spartanoff season one, we certainly had the use of the majority of the weapons. And for the most part, the normal vehicles that we've been accustomed to, the tank a little bit. Certainly, warthogs and wraiths and ghosts, mantis a little bit, but I think aerial and or space combat is something that we'd like to get into. I mean, technically, you could get into a Banshee playing on Shootout in Valhalla, which was episode 3, chapter 4. But boy, am I nerding out here? What? But anyways. You know, we definitely need to go further with that. We need to have some more aerial and or space combat and make use of those vehicles. I know people miss the Falcon from Reach. People miss the Hornet from Halo 3, you know, and these are vehicles I think that need to come back and reuse again. I mean, why have them created and then, you know, and then not use them? I know that those were Bungie assets, but those certainly were transferable over to 343, and they're part of Halo lore. Now, if they don't bring those back and they decide to use the broadsword, okay, I'm fine with that. That'll work.
Yeah. As far as the whole space vehicles goes, there's definitely a plethora of vehicles that are at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, I guess, making it the right way, at least for people of first-person shooters and those that like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I see,
that's why you can definitely have it in Spartan Ops. You know, you could have it, obviously, it can be in the campaign. But to have it in multiplayer, probably not so much unless you're doing it just as custom games because people are used to being FPS kind of things. But definitely doing it in Spartan Ops, that's where you can really have your space battles go nuts because Spartan Ops is different than multiplayer. And even though some of it's played as FPS, why couldn't they throw us a mission or two, that's space battle kind of thing? So then you definitely get a different flair for, for Halo play in Spartan Ops than you do in multiplayer. Besides then, doing it that way, it might intrigue some people who weren't playing Spartan Ops before to come over and try it out because maybe there were those folks that liked Long Night of Solace and Reach. And we really didn't get much of that in Halo 4. Yes, we got the broadsword in, near the last mission, but that didn't quite play the same, and that was pretty well linear. But, you know, if we got something in Spartan Ops, then that would give them another opportunity to play something, that's space vehicle or aerial or something.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. On top of, I guess, space battle, mm-hmm. I personally think it needs to be something safer Halo 5, but if we get it in there, that's fine. But besides space battle stuff, would the Infinity basically be trying to go out and finding Dr. Halsey? Do you think that would be kind of the primary thing? I mean, that'd be one of the more logical things. I don't know if
it is logical.
I don't know if doing the insurrection would necessarily be.
Yeah. Well, here's part of my thoughts on that. Okay. It would seem logical to go after Halsey. However, using the Infinity to do that, you know, I mean, it's obviously it's the most powerful ship in the UNSC. It's the biggest ship.
Well, and you have one of the most important, but you have one of the most important pieces of foreigner technology out there as well.
You're talking about the Janus key?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's why, you know, I think part of Spartan Ops season 2, could be them going after Halsey, but I think they also have to deal with the insurrection or the Storm faction, not just the whole, you know, going after Halsey, but dealing with the Storm faction in general, the Storm faction of the Covenant.
You know, what would be interesting, I think, would be if they do try to go around and find Halsey, having each episode basically be a different planet or ship or location.
Absolutely. That was something I think I mentioned in the earlier episodes. This would be a great opportunity for us to finally see some of the home worlds of the Covenant. Let's go ahead and go to the Grunt homeworld. You know, let's see the Jackal's homeworld. We're not going to see Brutes because for whatever reason, 343 wants to get away from Brutes, which is unfortunate because I'd love to see them come back. But yeah, let's see the Grunt homeworld, the Jackal homeworld, and then let's finally go to Sangilios, because Sangilios is where part of the Thursday War, in fact, a lot of it, takes place. So let's get a chance to actually go there, you know, and then we get to see elites, you know, in all kinds of forms, you know. So yeah, let's see that. Let's see maybe some other Earth colonies, you know. This would be an opportunity maybe to visit planets that were previously glassed, and maybe now they're, you know, we're finally recolonizing them, and you know, maybe go back to Reach, go back to Harvest, you know, those kinds of things. You know, since there was so much tech that was on Reach, maybe the Infinity could go back there, because that's where Halsey had her big setup at, that maybe they could find something there that would help them find Halsey, you know, or they would get an idea of her way of thought, you know, her train of thought by all her research that they did. Maybe they find that. Maybe there's a faction of the Covenant that survived the glassing of Reach, and they're still there, and you know, we have to fight against them to get to Halsey's research. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of possibilities here. So, you know, definitely I would love to see it be, you know, one different planet from another each episode. You know, that would make it exciting. Plus, you're not reusing maps, you know, and that goes back to what I was saying before. If we have a shortened season, that would allow 343 to create, you know, a different map for each mission or a different locale. So, you know, even if, you know, it's five missions per chapter, all five missions could be on the Grunt's home world, and they might look a little similar, but they're not the same. But then next you go to the Jackal home world, and again, those might look similar, but they're not the same. So, I'm with you on that. I totally would love to see new locations.
Yeah, that would be very, very interesting to see them kind of go around and
fly. Where would you like to see them go? Besides what I mentioned, what else would you like to see?
There's nothing really that sticks out. I don't know if Sangilios I would want to go see. I think that's a little too popular within the books and not really exposed enough yet in the games to where that would be a good starting place. I mean, maybe depending on how they kind of set it up for the first couple episodes, maybe by the end of it, go there.
Yeah.
But okay, well, I think as far as
Jackal homeworld, the Yanmeng, the drones, that is, you could do them.
I don't know if you want to do homeworlds though. I would think you'd do more like colonies or satellite sites where Jewel may know of some hideout spots, and then it's like, okay, the Infinity picks up a lead or something and then goes there. And then we have whenever Crimson gets deployed on certain missions, or asked to go check out certain things, then that's when you actually land on a planet or an asteroid or whatever, or ship or whatever you end up going to. Mm-hmm. And then that's your chapters or part of your mission set for that episode.
All I know is if we do something like this, I really would want to see, a Grunt world, whether it's a home world or not, because, I want to see, you know, Flip Yap and what is it? The nipple, whatever the hell that thing is called, that they always joked about in the prior, Halos, you know,
you get to see all these. Remember.
I forget what it's called now, but, okay. Somebody in the chat, tell me real quick, the nipple, what was it? Nipple what? But anyways,
food nipple.
Food nipple. Yeah, that's it. You know, you'd see, you know, these just hundreds of grunts, you know, so, you know, while you can, you know, grunts are pretty easy to take out. And if you're having to deal with hundreds of grunts, that could be a bit overwhelming. And maybe we'll see, you know, a new type of grunt that we've never seen before. Maybe there's a queen ungoy, you know, queen grunt that's much bigger, you know, and, you know, have to take that down. You know, they can really go all out and be different, you know, and give us something new. You know, it's still within the realm of possibilities, but something new.
True.
You know, it's just something, you know.
The way they have it set up, there's definitely lots of possibilities that they have with Spartan Ops now. Mm-hmm. You have Infinity floating out in empty space. You have Halsey in an unknown location with Jewel.
Right.
There are just quite a few things that you could do with this, and it's just a matter of, okay, well, with what we've seen from the books and with what we know now about Spartan Assault and Halo 5, mm-hmm. what's the most likely path that they're going to take with this second season if they were to do it? And also kind of depending on when it would come out compared to the release of Halo 5.
Right, right.
I mean, those are still some big factors, and I think those would kind of drive where the story of a second season of Spartan Ops would actually take place.
Hey, let's also not forget about, I'm just thinking about this, what about the TV show, too? It's really going to depend on what time
it takes place. Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I just figured that out, man. You know, now, so if the show takes place to a similar time as that...
Well, okay, wait, if the show takes place on the Xbox,
yeah.
does that mean that they would actually release Halo 5 that soon after that TV show would be done?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if they have the show, then, this would get complicated then.
Yeah.
So, but then if you were going to have Spartan Ops, it would have to be Halo 4, and Halo 4 is only in the 360. Ooh, that would get messy. Okay, scratch that idea.
Yeah, that I totally forgot about the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's supposed to be Xbox One exclusive.
Yes, yeah.
Although if they say it's a TV series, then it really shouldn't just be on Xbox. I would think it would need to be actually televised on TV proper.
Or at least
unless they have
as well.
Unless they're planning to have like a specific Xbox channel that actually has 24-hour content for the Xbox, and it's just if you're an Xbox Gold member, then you could subscribe essentially to that channel. So maybe they do it that way.
Maybe, you know, if they were to allow it to be released on the 360, that would be something you'd just have to pay extra for, you know, kind of like a season pass or something, you know. That's interesting now.
Yeah. Anyways, does complicate things.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I've mentioned this before, and it's not a super popular idea, but the idea of Thorn taking a more predominant role, at least with the Majestic, it seemed to me that they were grooming Thorn to take over as the new, you know, badass Spartan down the line. Mind you, this would be something that would take place probably after Halo 6 or at the end of Halo 6, but they could definitely use Spartan Ops Season 2, be it through Halo 4.
They're going to replace Chief with Thorn.
But the thing is, you know, I know as strange as that sounds now, you know, we're only just now seeing the beginning of Thorn's Spartan career. By the time it reaches Halo 6, we'll have seen him in Halo 4, Halo 5, and Halo 6. If any of the show covers that, we've got that, you know. And you'll have witnessed what he's gone through. That he's definitely not the same as Master Chief right now. In fact, nobody will ever be the same as Master Chief. But he will have gained all that experience and knowledge and had all this military training and experience behind him that he, by that point, could be well suited then to take over when and if the time comes. Because I love Master Chief, but you know he's not going to be able to live forever, and I think a lot of people don't necessarily want to see that. They, you know, that when it comes time, they, you know, personally, I'd love to see Master Chief and Cortana go off into the sunset, but that's a bit, you know, that's a bit cheesy. I know a lot of people say, you know, if Master Chief's going to die, they want him to go out in a blaze of glory. So if that's the case, you got to have somebody else take over. And I sure as hell don't want it to be Palmer. So who next would be a worthy replacement to Chief? Well, at that point, three games down the line, Thorn is looking like the one. Because do you want Madsen? Do you want DeMarco? Frig no.
But what about the other Spartan 2s?
Well, it seems like they're really getting away from the Spartan 2s, though. You know?
I thought it seemed like at one point that Frankie was trying to say that they were interested in getting some of the Spartan 2s back.
Well, that's something I guess we'll have to see, you know.
I mean, because I honestly want to see what's happening with that squad.
You mean the one that survived the...
It was Lucy and Fred.
Right.
And then a couple other Spartan 3s.
Was it Linda? Was Linda?
No. No, I think she was killed.
And then, well, somebody in the chat said Kelly and Linda. See, that's what I'm saying. And then what about...
No, Kelly was the one that was abducted by Halsey.
Okay, who's the Spartan that's with Kilo 5?
I thought it was Fred.
No, right now. In Thursday War.
Naomi.
Naomi, that's right. That's right. In fact, by the way, if you look at the cover of the Thursday War, that's who it is. It's Naomi aboard their ship. Oh, my God, I'm just brain farting, forgetting. But anyways, it's aboard their ship where it's that area where it's transparent and you can see through. And that's where she's looking down to see the Infinity and the other UNSC cruisers and whatnot. So that's who it is. I didn't realize that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've read the book now. So now you know
what scene I'm talking about. The Port Stanley.
Thank you. Yeah. So now you know the scene I'm talking about. And that's who it is. It's Naomi looking down through that portion of the ship.
I didn't even catch that.
There you go. So.
But yeah, there's plenty of other Spartan 2s out there in the universe, and especially that they're still talking about in the books. I want to see them in the games. I want to see part of that squad come back with John and the rest of the Spartan 2s. I know there's very limited out there. I think there's maybe less than 10, but still, it would be nice to see that.
That was speculation that I had before Halo 4 came out. I was hoping that Chief was going to have to go to Trevelyan, or when he went to Requiem, that for whatever reason, whether they be aboard the Infinity or not, that he was going to meet up with some of the other surviving Spartan 2s, and those would be your multiplayer partners. I think that would have been fantastic, because then everybody would have got a chance to play as a Spartan 2, but you would have been a different Spartan. You know, not everybody would have been Chief. You could have been Chief. You could have been Linda, Fred, you know, whomever, but you could have been somebody different, you know? And, so that didn't happen in Halo 4. So hopefully that'll happen in Halo 5. Of course, what we've seen from the trailer, though, it's really looking like Chief is on his own again. And in fact, he's even more alone now, you know, with Cortana being gone. That cracked visor, you know, that's really got me thinking, too, you know. So we'll see. We'll see. Go ahead.
A lot of people were complaining yesterday on why Chief was wearing a cape.
Well, here's the thing, and somebody brought it up in the chat box, and I saw this earlier today on Reddit, that when you look at the fact that he's wearing the cloak, it looks like he may or may not be wearing the chest piece, and certainly the jetpack bumps, or whatever you want to call them, on his back, that part of the armor, well, that cape would have had to have been a lot higher up in his shoulders. So it looks like that's gone. So if we're not overthinking this, and this is possibly the case, then maybe he doesn't have his full armor now. You know, that's why his visor's cracked, you know, because maybe he got into a battle with something prior to what we see in the trailer, and he's had to ditch part of his armor. Whether that be the chest piece or certainly at least the back piece. So that now he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have this jetpack anymore, or his thruster pack. Cause again, when you compare,
he doesn't have the thruster pack. It's just those two little, arm looking things to stick up.
So the cloak.
The cloak seems bulky enough though to actually have a set of armor under there.
But not,
maybe it's just not Mjolnir.
Yeah, exactly, but not the same. So, you know, maybe he does need that cloak just to help keep the sand out. I mean, you know, the sand doesn't weigh getting into everything, you know. I mean, it seems a little hokey, you know, but, you know, again,
dramatic. The Jedi Master Chief.
Hey, I'm all for that, man. I'm all there with that one. Let him be able to use the Force like the freaking Didak did, you know.
Exactly.
I'm all for that. You know, if he whips out a freaking lightsaber and shit, hey, let's go. Let's do it. Of course, that would be a bit far-fetched. But, hey, we are talking science fiction in 500 years from now. So, you know, why not?
Right.
energy sword, somebody said, yeah, okay, that'd work. But a reformed energy sword, so it's not looking like the Covenant one now.
Anyway, have you in a C version?
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, they have light shield technology now, right?
Have we adapted it?
I think. I mean, they'd certainly been working on, you know, when they got the shields from the Jackals. I think they'd been working on it.
But we've never seen it implemented anywhere.
Right. Well,
at least not in human tech.
Yeah, not yet. But, you know, now that we've gotten the technology of the hard light shield from Requiem, you have to consider, you know, however much further forward in the future Halo 5 is, maybe by that point, you know, they will have been able to develop something that's hard light. I could see it, you know. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, for Halo 5, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. See, and here's the thing. Here, let me throw this out to you, okay? And I know we're getting off the Spartan Ops thing, but real quick on Halo 5. People, I know, I'm sure you've heard it too, people complaining about all these different armor abilities and all this and that. Well, a way to get away from the armor abilities is just what we were talking about. If Chief doesn't have the Mjolnir armor, or it's the same armor, so he's had to essentially be downgraded as far as his armor goes. Well, then when you go into multiplayer, now you don't have that same armor. You're not necessarily as badass, and you certainly don't have all of the armor abilities that you used to have. So now you have to deal with that. And along with that, now if you have a hard light sword or a hard light shield, now you're going to have more melee combat that deals with that instead. You know, so it's a way for them to take away armor abilities that people did not like being infused in the Halo 4.
Right.
It might seem like a step back, but it gets closer to traditional Halo play, not having all these armor abilities, you know. So that's one thing that they could do with this, you know. Bringing it back, but not bringing it back the exact same, but certainly getting away from the things that pissed off a lot of the fans to begin with, you know, that happened in Halo 4. So we'll see, you know. You know, it's just the fun of speculation, you know, it's the fun of doing these. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
What do you think Halsey would be doing from here on out in terms of getting her revenge? I guess you kind of already touched on, like, going back to some of her previous sites where she's been.
Mm-hmm.
What is trying to recover some of her research. Yeah, like, what do you think was going through her mind, like, when she said that she wanted revenge? And I actually looked through the clips again, and they actually are the same. That pause does seem to be indicative. It was like she is thinking about how exactly to best make use of the situation. And I don't think it's exactly that she wants revenge on the UNSC per se, mm-hmm. but I personally think it's more of a play on Jewel, where it's like, okay, well, the best way that is going to turn out well for me in order to get what I want, which is probably still the pursuit of pushing humanity,
mm-hmm.
is I'm going to tell you I want revenge.
Right. I can agree with that to a point. I think she definitely wants to get rid of Jewel.
She's all for humanity.
Say that again?
She's still all for humanity, whether or not.
But she certainly didn't appreciate Palmer coming after her, and she already had a frayed relationship with Palmer through Spartan Ops. You know, their interactions, it was obvious that Palmer just did not like Halsey, and Halsey kept putting her in her place, so they definitely had a frayed relationship. So I think, you know, if it came down to it, you know, if Halsey had a chance of taking Palmer out, depending on the situation surrounding it, that she might do that. She might have a grudge against Oni for turning on her when she, prior to all of this, basically in essence was like the savior of humanity by bringing about the Spartan 2 program. So maybe she has a little bit of vengeance that she wants to enact on Oni and Palmer, but certainly not the UNSC and humanity as a whole. So I can see happening, whether it's through Spartan Ops or through the campaign for Halo 5, is that she manipulates Jewel in a way that Jewel will bring the battle to the UNSC and use him to take out certain key figures in Oni, And yet, at the same time, allow the UNSC to finally defeat Jewel. Because she's already been around the UNSC long enough, you know, that she'll know, you know, their tactics, where they're at, that kind of thing. She'll know which bases are more heavily guarded than others and planets and so on. So she would certainly be able to extract that information and lead Jewel into a trap, but just enough that she can exact revenge on specific individuals and then allow Jewel and his forces to perish. Yes?
Yeah, she'll scheme. She'll scheme. Definitely.
Oh, that's her for sure. Isn't it fun? This is fun. I'm enjoying this.
All this speculation. Yeah, it's
one of these things has got to be right. We're pinging on everything, man.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of other things that we haven't thought of in the Halo universe that could probably work on too.
I'm sure.
Probably some stuff we don't even know really exists within the Halo universe, and it's one of those kind of back pocket things like, you don't know what this is.
Yeah. I'm wondering that, you know, that the Janus key, you know, being two halves, that I wonder truly if maybe there's a way that she can glean some information from it, that it, you know, that there are maybe, you know, it's like, With the Janus key, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's like when you buy a game disc, you know, well, you can play the campaign, but if you want the really good shit or you want extra shit, you got to get the DLC. Well, in this case, you know, it's that she's got the Janus key, and so she has a portion of information that she might be able to glean, but in order to get the DLC, she's got to get the other part of the Janus key, and that's where all the good shit is, you know. So, good stuff, sorry, good stuff. That's what I meant to say. So maybe she is able to find a way to extract some Forerunner information, and that'll lead her to some new tech, you know, or new locations or something.
Well, we've seen a lot of the stuff in all the temples that they found for the Forerunners, that there's a lot of information that's stored within there as well. And who knows, there may be more shield worlds that they managed to stumble upon.
Maybe they'll bring Trevelyn into this then, you know? That's a possibility. I mean, she's been there, you know, and that's a different kind of a shield world. That's more of a Dyson sphere instead of it being a shield world. So that could be another area, you know, and Jewel's been there as well. So that would be another way to bring the story back around, because, hey, there you go. That's it right there. That's another thing that could happen. Since he's been there, he's able to then extract exact revenge upon those that imprisoned him.
That's interesting.
There you go. Ooh. That's a possibility. He knows that world. He knows some of the engineers there, you know? So that could be a possibility.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, we got to keep talking, man. Maybe we'll get some more stuff out of this. This is brainstorming here, man.
343 is just going to farm the ideas off of us.
Yeah, you know?
I like that. That's a really good point.
Yeah, at the very least, they'll hear it, and then they'll do it and say, oh, no, this is what we had all along. We planned this all along. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the whole galaxy, too, to explore.
Sure. Well, you know, the thing is I don't think that they want to go too far away from what's already been out there.
Right.
You know, said 343, that it has already said that, you know, they were maybe a little too ambitious with how much they were trying to push in Halo 4. So,
you know, it's kind of funny that even though the game's called Halo, there's really not much focus on the Halos anymore.
Yeah,
would there be something with the Halos that they would do? I mean, other than locating the Halos, there's not really anything that we want to do with the Halos other than, like, be able to know that they're there and whether or not that we can actually activate them in time of crisis.
Right.
But
there is Forerunner tech there still that, you know, that hasn't been fully understood. I mean, remember installation, I think it was 3 that we saw in Halo 4? It was either 3 or 5. I can't remember. But whichever one that is, you know, you remember Tilson said, you know, that, you know, they had been studying there for a few years already. And, you know, the destruction of that Halo, you know, they were going to lose all of that information, not to mention the fact that, you know, any new stuff that they would come across in the many decades, you know, and centuries from there on out. So, you know, so yeah, that could be another possibility. I'm finally getting back to visiting Halo rings for more, you know, more tech. Maybe we'll see Jewel on one of these, Halo rings, and that's where we start chasing, you know, get, we start the chase to find Halsey, you know, that we bounce from Halo ring to Halo ring. That'd be kind of nice, you know, then we actually get back to being on a Halo again.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, there's so many different... Okay, I definitely need to save this podcast, man, and I'm going to write stuff down. Oh, God.
Going to write a blog post after this.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a, it's just, it's, with the sandbox that they've created so far and with how they've left the end of Spartan Ops essentially open with Infinity able to go anywhere now and with, Halsey and the jewels, and the jewels, in the hands of Jewel, in the jewels of hands, in the hands of Jewel, then that, there's a lot of different ways that they can take jewels? This.
No, wait, never mind.
Yes, wow. I went
there.
Wow.
Yes, I went there.
Potty jokes are through the roof. But as far as what they can do is with the universe and with everything that we've had so far within Halo, it's just the possibilities are almost endless with what we've seen so far. It's just a matter of how do you incorporate that into a playable space? Like, right. They could definitely explore the story quite a bit in the TV series, and we still don't know yet what that TV series is going to cover, and I don't know. Maybe there's some of the stuff that we've talked about in here where it would actually be a lot better to actually see it in TV form. So maybe that's it needs to be there instead of in the Spartan Ops thing.
Now how about the TV series is actually the video portion of Spartan Ops, and then we actually play the missions. So we don't actually have a video portion like this, like we had with Spartan Ops. You know, being a 5-minute thing, now we get a 30-minute TV show that we watch, and now we can go play Spartan Ops the missions.
I don't think they would have the experience like that, because there would probably be some people that don't watch the TV show, and it's going back to that whole disconnect where people
right.
were playing the campaign, mostly didn't know what was going on because they didn't read the books.
Right, right.
Mostly didn't know what was going on because they didn't read the books. So it's that whole disconnect between whether or not you want people to really at least get a general idea, or if you want them to be basically in the dark, it's like, oh, there's this cool new level that I can play and fight against Covenant. I think that format of what we would see in Spartan Ops would be the same. It wouldn't be anything different.
You would still get a 5 to 10 minute video and then 5 missions.
Well, most of the videos were like 2 or 3 minutes, or up to 5. It wouldn't be too long, but it would be the introduction cutscene to what the episode's about, and then you have your 5 missions, and I don't even know if it would need to be 5 missions every time. It could be 3.
Yeah.
If they had ample amount of episodes.
Yeah. See, I would be okay with it being, you know, if they're going to trim this down, I'd like
a total of 12 to
around 25 as a whole for missions, but, you know, instead, you know, like they could either do 5 episodes, 5 missions each. So that's 25, or give us 10 episodes with 3 missions each, and now you've got 30, so around there. I'd be okay with that, because if they do that again, then that still gives them an opportunity to give us plenty of different play spaces.
Right.
And I think that's one thing I think that 343 has learned, is that, you know, if they're going to give us Spartan Ops again, that we need to...
Though they reused some of the play spaces in Halo or in the second half, it's still felt pretty good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I agree. I mean,
and the way they reused the levels, it made sense. A lot of people were just complaining because it wasn't enough variety. And there was one on the first season where you did play it 4 times, and that did get kind of repetitive. But in terms of how the story flowed, having that many maps actually worked really well.
Yeah, I mean, I still go back to the fact that if you look at the total number of maps used in Spartan Ops, it was 15 maps. That was 5 more than we got in the whole of Halo Reach's firefight. And we got 15 maps within the first couple of months in Halo 4. So, I still think people were just complaining to complain. And, you know, when we got those maps, you know, in Spartan Ops, yes, they were reused, but they weren't reused in the same way. We played the missions differently. They were completely different missions, you know. So, you know, I don't totally agree with the folks that, you know, saying, oh, my God, they're using these maps over and over again. Yeah, it's the same locale, but it's a different mission that's being, you know, performed there, and you're doing different things, and some elements of the maps have changed, you know. So I was actually fine with what they did, to be honest with you. You know, if they do something similar in Spartan Ops Season 2, I would still be okay with that. You know, like I said, if they give us 25 missions as opposed to 50, okay, so they give us 15 maps for 50 missions, give us maybe, you know, 8 different maps at least to cover those 25 missions. That'd be fine. I'd be okay with that. You know, 8 to 10 maybe. You know, just to have enough variety there. Certainly, you know, they could change the maps from being like we saw with the mission Glassman, where that was at nighttime, but in the campaign it was daytime. You can completely change the look and feel of a map if you just change the time of day.
Yeah, you can.
You know, so I think that's something that they should easily explore if they're going to go that route and reuse missions. I mean, reuse maps. Just give us a different time of day. You know,
it'd be interesting to see like the time of day dynamically change as you're playing through a mission, depending on how long it would be.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. You know, let's say we'll go back to what I was talking about with visiting home worlds or colonial worlds of the different Covenant races. You know, again, I'll go back to the grunts, just to name one. You know, let's say the first mission is, you know, okay, now you're there and it's early morning and your mission is to do reconnaissance and, you know, you have to take out some grunt, locations. Okay. So you do that. Then your next mission is, it's now at, early evening and, now you have to, infiltrate further into that position and you've unlocked now a new area of that map. You use a little bit of the previous map, but now it looks a little different because it's later in the day. It's not bright sun. Now you're at dusk, you know, and you go into a new portion of the map. And now the third mission, which would be the final one for that chapter, now it's a total nighttime one and you have to navigate the map during nighttime where it's a little bit harder to see things, you know, and the grunts knowing the area will have the advantage because they know the area. So the AI would be even smarter. And now you have to, go in and completely obliterate, you know, the colony or whatever, you know. Just doing that, you could virtually use the same map, but come at different times and unlock different parts of the map. And I think that would be a fuller experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not just restricted to Spartan Ops either. That's
sure.
That could be done throughout the whole like war games platform.
Sure, of course. Oh yeah, man. You know, going back to that, I mean, you know, I'll go back to Reach. What was that one map that it was kind of like it was a water plant, water power plant,
powerhouse.
Yeah. In the campaign, it was at night. In war games, it was during the day. My God, I would have loved to have played that map at nighttime in war games. You know, that would have been fun. I would have enjoyed that. And I think they could do that with nearly every map that's there. You know, even in Halo 4, there's a lot of maps that they could give it to us in daytime and nighttime. And the maps you'd have a totally different feel for it then. Yeah, they would look the same, but now they might play a little differently because you might not be able to see some things as clearly as you could before. And, you know, sure, you have to worry about campers and that kind of thing, but everything's a lot darker now. So somebody that has a sniper might not be able to see you as well now because now it's dark. You can't see as well. You know, you might have a little bit more close combat, you know. You know, who knows? I mean, there's just a whole lot of possibilities open up with that. So, and you think about it, you know, they could either give that to us as a free DLC because they essentially changed the lighting, or they could charge us a minimal amount, you know, and give us these maps in a different time of day. And I, you know, not the full price, please. You're giving us the same map, just a different lighting, you know, but, yeah, free DLC. Yes, chat. I said that free DLC.
It'd be interesting if they went the free DLC route, but even if it was like if you had to download it, like if it was $20, I would probably buy it.
Well, are you talking $20 for all the maps?
For DLC.
Yeah, yeah.
For a second season of Spartan Ops.
Okay. Well, they can't do the second season of Spartan Ops is it can't be on Requiem, so we're not using those maps again.
Now I'm on track with what you're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I jumped.
No, that's all right. So, anyways.
Yeah. There's lots of different things that could happen here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So now people in the chat are talking about what a season two could possibly cost. And you know, I've said before that I'd be fine with 10 or 15. 20 would be a bit costly, and it just depends on what they would offer us.
On how many episodes that we'd get.
Right. If they were to shorten it down like we've been talking, and give us only 25 missions, then yeah, I would say, you know, you really shouldn't charge any more than $10 to $15. If they were to give us another full 10 episodes, 5 missions each, even if they were reusing maps, I personally think that would be worth $20. Because if you look at games like The Walking Dead, that was 5 episodes. And you were paying $5 for each episode. So that's $25 right there. You know, and I think that you're getting a lot more bang for your buck, so to speak, with having the 50 missions and the 10 episodes. And you're getting a nice video ahead of time, and then you're getting all these different missions, you know, locale. So if it was the full season again, 10 chapters, 50 missions, $20, I do not think is unreasonable. I think that's actually a good price. If it's less than that, if it's half that, 10 or 15.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. I think that pretty much covers a lot of the stuff that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say.
I think we rattled off a dozen different scenarios that we could have as a second season of Spartan Ops.
Yeah. It was a good amount, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly enough fuel for the fire, and certainly enough to get people thinking. And hopefully maybe 343 will listen.
Yeah.
Get some ideas. I'd be okay with it. They don't have to give me credit for it. That's okay. You know, because you and I know we have the date and time when we recorded this.
Mm-hmm. That we do.
I'd be okay with it, really.
Yeah. If they are playing a second season Spartan Ups, they're probably definitely talking about it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not they're actually developing for it, it would be another matter. But they did a very good job with the second half of Spartan Ups. And
I think so.
It's... I mean, unfortunately, this is kind of the way it's been with Halo 4 since it's been launched, but it's like, is it too late with how they've implemented some of this stuff? Is it too late for the Halo community as a whole to keep that franchise bit alive? And I've been saying this on the podcast for a while now, and I think a lot of other people agree with me. Halo 4 is kind of that one strike that you get as a freebie. It's, okay, we understand this is the first real game you've done. You're a new studio. You have a bunch of people that haven't worked together before. Halo 4 is kind of like, okay, we're not very happy with what you've done, but we'll take what we got so far. But if you mess it up with Halo 5, Halo is toast at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, and I definitely you can see from what they've said, they've understood some of the things that they made some mistakes on. And also with the revelation of the trailer that came out of E3, we now know that it was not the full 343 crew that was all on Halo 4. Now we know more of the story. And
yeah, doesn't that piss some people off?
Well, of course. Of course. I look at it now and I'm like, oh my God. So now I know why the game had that not quite finished feeling to it, you know? They had a lot of people go over to Halo 5. You know, personally, I would rather have had them all focus on this, you know, and you and I, you know, you mentioned it before and yesterday, I know we talked about it, that we're used to this 3-year cycle of Halo, but that's not where it is now. You know, it needs to compete against the Call of Duties and the Battlefronts and it used to be Gears of War and so on. And so for it to wait 3 years before coming out with a new game, that's just not going to cut it. It needs to come out a little bit more quicker. So if Halo 5 comes out, be it spring or fall of next year, that's actually, when you think about it, that's only going to be what, a year and a half, 2 years, you know, cause we're only into like the 7 month, area of Halo 4 being out. That's it. You know, so if you're talking a year from now, that's 19 months of, you know, in spring, early summer, or, you know, it might be close to 2 years. That's it.
So there was a quote from Anna during,
he has a new series. I meant to say Battlefield.
Oh, yeah. I think you did. Oh, okay. Anyways,
or something different.
Anyways, there's a new season that Anna's at the Top 10 series has started. It's, talking kind of like, first looks at some of the new games that are kind of coming out. So he covers, Destiny and Halo 5, and there was another game that he covered. I forget what it was. But when he was talking about the Destiny stuff, he said something that really struck a chord with me. It's passion, not profit, that drives a successful game.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's
a cool statement. And with Microsoft, it's like Microsoft is all profit, which is one of the reasons why I think Halo is – I don't want to say it's doomed to fail, but if Microsoft does not give 343 the free reign – that they need, and I know that there's people over there that are really passionate about Halo.
Right.
If they don't get that freedom, Halo is dead.
And you know what? And that is, I think, a big reason why Bungie jumped ship finally, and they said, "The hell with this, we're gone." And you just get that vibe. At least I'm getting that vibe from Bungie, that they love the fact that they are no longer under Microsoft. And they have this deal with Activision. That's why you're going to have your exclusive content for Destiny on the PlayStation. They, you know, they have a newfound appreciation for not being under somebody else's thumb now. They have a partnership. They're not under a lordship. You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say. So they're
able
to develop the game that they want to develop instead of the game that they have to develop. So, you know, you can see similar things happening with 343, that they're kind of being, you know, they're under this rule of thumb that, you know, they have to develop the game as quickly as they can because this is what Microsoft's telling them, because they are part of Microsoft. They are a division of Microsoft. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Microsoft, you know, but the fact is some of the things that are happening with Halo, you know, you and I can see it as longtime fans and, you know, hardcore fans of the franchise, that it's not going the way that it needs to for it to remain viable in the long term. You know, I hope Spartan Assault does good, but with it being an only Windows 8 exclusive game, I don't have much.
It's not going to do that well.
Yeah, it looks fun, you know, and in that podcast that we did last week, it sounded like I was bashing it, but the game itself, excluding the fact that it's exclusive to Windows 8, the game itself looks like it's a lot of fun, sounds like it's a lot of fun. You know, I just wish that it was coming to Xbox Live Arcade, because then I would play it. I would buy it, and I'd buy it for $15 as opposed to the $7 that they want to put it on a Win 8 device. You know, give me it for $15 on Xbox Live Arcade, I'd buy it in a heartbeat, because it's Halo and it looks like it's a lot of fun. And you've made it accessible to the people that would buy the game, as opposed to giving it such a narrow focus in a Windows 8 device. You're not going to sell me a $400 piece of equipment just for a $7 app, you know. Bad enough that, you know, I had to get a new Xbox for Halo 4 because mine died just before Halo 4 came out. And I think in the time that Halo 4's come out, I've only bought two other games at full retail, I think. You know, so I am essentially buying, you know, a console for Halo. I mean, that's what's keeping me. That's what's going to keep me on the going to the Xbox One is Halo. There's, you know, if Microsoft didn't have Halo, well, probably would jump ship. Can't say it for certain, but you know, all that stuff that came out of PlayStation yesterday, they were saying the right stuff, whether or not it's true or not. They said the right stuff. So they certainly won the first salvo anyways of the war, you know, but we were getting off topic there.
Well, it all boils down to the Spartan Ops, whether or not it's something that they want to spend the time investing in it with, especially with when they've released or not released, announced the Halo TV series, Halo 5 Spartan Assault, and then of course Halo 5 now. So it's a matter of whether or not it would be beneficial. And I think a lot of people would play it, but
Yeah.
Then again, you do have to look at the how big the fan base is now and actually what kind of audience it would reach. So maybe something like leading up to Halo 5 would be good, because as we saw with Reach, there's a big resurgence of players back to the game in anticipation for the next one to come out. So
yeah, I think if they market it correctly, you know, they could build up the hype for it, but they have to be a little bit more upfront with some of the stuff, because they really like to be secretive. And you know what? That doesn't play well with a lot of fans, you know? Like, we want to kind of know a little bit more about what we're getting into, you know?
Well, so, the thing is, Bungie did it well.
Oh, yeah.
Bungie wasn't really out there necessarily for the money.
Mm-hmm.
At least not originally.
Because they knew the money was going to come because they were putting out a superior product.
Right. But at that point, it's... You can't worry about the money. If you're worried about the money, then you're not going to make the best game possible.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. If you're making a game just to make money, I mean, yeah, you could be really loving the stuff you do, but if you don't love it to the fact where you wouldn't be doing it even if you weren't being paid at all, then you're not making it for the right reasons.
Right. You certainly don't have that passion behind it, as they say they have.
Right. And with how probably Microsoft tends to push things, it probably gets into this grind where it's like, oh, I want to do this, but just with how things are going, I really don't feel like doing this anymore, and it's just so time-consuming. Mm-hmm. Another thing of it is just the environment that you work with, and with the new team that they had with 343 and all the new people there, it's like you're starting with a whole new team.
Right.
That and
they might be experienced, but they're experienced through other developers, and they've worked on other games. They've not worked together. So right.
That team dynamic is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
If they hype it up, that I would be okay with waiting for Spartan Ops to come out a little before Halo 5. Hype it up, kind of like what they did with Forward Unto Dawn, where you work the series into the hype of Halo 4. Do that with Spartan Ops, where you can play it in Halo 4, have it hype it up for the story for Halo 5. Maybe stretch it out instead of being one every week. Maybe do one every 2 weeks or one every month. You know, and give us plenty of missions to play in between here and then. I'd be okay with that. But if they're going to do it, we really need to kind of get an idea, you know, are you going to? I think the longer they wait, given the damage that was done yesterday with PlayStation, the longer they wait to do some of these things, and with Halo being the franchise for Xbox, the longer they wait to reveal anything is just going to hurt them in the long run. And by extension, it's going to hurt us as fans then.
Yeah, there's lots of things on the fence right now, but we've talked your ears off enough tonight, guys. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap stuff up, because we've definitely dived into stuff that's not specifically Spartan Ops, and we've been doing that for like the last 20 or 30 minutes. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap things up. I don't know if we're gonna do another Spartan Ops miniseries show, but if we do, we'll definitely let you know. But for the time being, this is it. This is the final episode. This is 11. We've covered the epilogue. We've talked about what we would like to see in the second season if it were to come to fruition. And I hope you guys have really enjoyed all the time and effort that Sal and I have put out to make these. You guys, probably some of you have been listening to us on Waypoint. For those of you who found us there, welcome to the show. Hopefully we haven't bored you through all the analysis that went through and all the episodes when we started out with, like, I think our first show was like 40 minutes, and then we worked our way up to like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So
we're under 2 hours this time.
This time, yes. But in terms of our last ones, I think like episodes 7, 8, and 9 were like 2.5 hours. But
yeah.
For those of you who listened to us and managed to listen to us all the way through and really dive into the story and the gameplay with us, we really appreciate your time and dedication to listen to us. And if you guys have any feedback for us, definitely leave it. We would be more than happy to know what you guys are hearing. With that said, Sal and I are kind of working on some Spartan Ops related projects.
Right.
First one for me, and I've kind of been working with Sal a little bit, and we've been kind of developing this as we've been doing the Spartan Ops episodes, but I've been working on basically an analysis and walkthrough of the entire season 1 of Spartan Ops, and it's been on the back burner for me for 2 months or so because I've had some other projects come up and some other just like real life stuff that's happened. So it's been put on the back burner, but it's definitely something that I picked up steam again, and I have a few more chapters in the last episode to go through, and then I gotta go and rewrite some stuff. But I'm doing a book, basically. It's gonna probably turn out to be 120 pages or so of an entire analysis and walkthrough of Spartan Ops Season 1. And that's going to be probably made available digitally because, I've mentioned this to Jess, but I haven't really gotten any talks started up with it, whether or not I could actually make it available to people to buy copies of. But when everything's said and done, I'm definitely going to be making some physical copies for a few select people that have helped me with this, and Sal being one, and a few for three, and
appreciate it.
A couple other people that have helped out as well. But it will probably be available for you guys as a digital download. So I actually put up a long time ago, after we did our first five episodes, a quick snippet of the first five that I did. So that's roaming the internets. There was a post on HBO about it. There was a post on Potacular about it and a couple other places. So
right. And don't forget, too, all the comic books that I did along the way. I just posted in the chat box a link. I've got a comic book for each one of the episodes as well. I compiled them into a graphic novel that has all of them. It's a large download. It's 160 meg, but it's a PDF. Feel free to download it and let me know what you think about it. You can always check me out on HaloFanForLife.com. I cover everything Halo, but I've got a nice large section that is Spartan Ops specific. And Dustin, I have to say it's been an honor, and I really appreciate you bringing me in on this. And I look forward to more podcasts come, even if they're not Spartan Ops.
Oh, there will definitely be some. There are definitely going to be more podcasts, whether or not they're specifically Spartan Ops related. And as we get into the summer, we're definitely going to be looking at more of the Halo lore stuff because people have really asked about it, digging into the books and some of the other stuff that has gone on as well. So you can definitely expect that once Spartan Assault hits the streets, we'll probably have some podcasts about that. When the TV show comes out, we'll definitely talk about that as well. So there's definitely lots of stuff that's going to be talking good points to talk about, and at least giving us content instead of being stagnant like it has been between some of the games in the past. So it's there's going to be lots of content to talk about, definitely.
Keep your
ears tuned. But as far as our Spartan Ops coverage goes, this is pretty much our last anticipated show that we have. So unless there's Spartan Ops Season 2.
And then for right back on it.
For all intents and purposes, guys, this is our final goodbye for our Spartan Ops miniseries. This concludes our Spartan Ops miniseries, and we thank you guys for joining us along for the ride. So with that said, I want to give another huge, huge thanks to Halo Fan for Life for all the time that you put with me going through, playing through the maps again, going through my write-ups and pulling together all the notes and things. Just thank you for your time and dedication to this.
Oh man, you are very welcome. And again, it's been an honor and a pleasure to do these. So anytime, man, anytime.
All right.
Thank you.
And thank you guys to the fans that are listening. We really appreciate it. Really appreciate you guys, all the support that you give, and hopefully we did not bore you to tears. So with that said, everybody, thanks, and for the last time for our Spartan Ops series, we'll see you later.